weeks on seeking and searching. And this is the last message in that little series that we've been done on seeking and searching. We've looked at seeking the Lord's face. We've looked at seeking the Lord's direction in our lives, His will for our lives. We've looked at searching the Scripture. We've looked at being diligent in our search so that it glorifies God. And sometimes it feels like we are on autopilot. Sometimes it feels like we come towards the weekend and we think, wow, where has that week gone? And we've just absolutely flown through the week, and maybe we've not accomplished anything. Maybe we've set out at the start of the week to, you know, with a few goals in mind, and at the end of the week we thought, wow, where has that gone? We've not ticked anything off our list. And not only do weeks feel like that sometimes months feel like that, and you think, wow, where has that time gone? Even a whole year can fly by. Maybe at the beginning of last year you set yourself some goals. Maybe you did make some resolutions. Maybe you thought, right, I'm going to be a better person in doing this next year. I'm going to, you know, read through my Bible in a year. And you get to kind of December and you realize you've only got as far as Leviticus and you've got a few books to go in order to accomplish the goal of reading through the Bible in the year. And you think, wow, where did that time go? What I don't want us to do as individuals or as a church, I don't want us to drift. You know, sometimes it feels like we've just drifted through the week. We've drifted through the month. We've drifted through the year. We've drifted through our spiritual walk. We've not achieved the spiritual goals that we set out at the beginning of the year. We've not achieved what it is that we wanted to do in terms of things that we need to work on as believers. Can I just say this? None of us have arrived as Christians yet. And none of us will arrive as Christians until we get to glory. Until then, there's work to be done. There are attitudes to alter. There are ways to change. There are things that we do in our lives that are still part of that old fleshy nature that sometimes creep up on us unawares, and we give it too much place in our lives. So there's still work to be done. But if we drift and we're not diligent in our seeking and our searching, we're going to find ourselves in a spiritual mess. I want us today to recognize what those dangers of drifting are. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 2 says this: therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to unto us by them that heard him? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we recognize the fact that there have been many times in our lives where we've set New Year's resolutions that have lasted for maybe a week, a month, maybe even just a few days. But Father, when it comes to setting spiritual goals, I pray that we wouldn't drift. I pray that we wouldn't just drift through our walk with you, that we would be diligent in our search for you, that we would be diligent in seeking your face, that we would be diligent in seeking what your will is for our lives, that we would be diligent in asking you to help us change those parts of our lives that don't please you, that don't glorify you, that don't honor you, that give far too much place to the flesh and to that old nature of ours that is still there lying dormant. So Father, help us to recognize the dangers of drifting today, that we might put those areas of our lives right as we seek and search what your will is for our lives. Father, we love you so much, and we just prayed you'd speak to our hearts today, for it's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. William Perry was a British explorer who mapped out most of the southern polar cap. On one particular expedition, Perry and his crew were preparing to hike to an unfamiliar location. On the eve of their departure, they studied the stars and determined their exact coordinates. As the sun rose, they began a hard, lengthy journey north to this unmapped region. They marched through the ice and snow all day long with the freezing air burning their lungs. As the sun set, they made camp totally exhausted from their trip. After their evening meal, Perry studied the stars again to determine their exact coordinates. And he was stunned to learn that even though he and his crew had journeyed north all day long, they were now further south than when they began that morning. How was that even possible? After struggling to solve this problem, they discovered that although they had traveled north, they were on a giant ice sheet that was flowing south faster than they were walking north. Although they were going in the right direction, they were sliding away and they didn't even know it. The plight of this expedition aptly illustrates what it is that we face in terms of the dangers and frustrations of drifting. All these explorers were busy. All of these explorers were putting 100% effort in. All of these explorers were doing what they thought they should be doing, but they weren't making any headway at all. They were actually going backwards and didn't realize it. They thought what they were doing was right, but in the end, they were worse off than when they started. Such is the case for many Christians who've drifted away from the Lord. In their busyness and in their frantic schedules, they've actually drifted from God and become spiritually freezing cold. Some Christians don't even know how far they've drifted from God. In their mind, they still feel like they're doing the right thing. They still feel like they're in the right place. But yet, unaware to them, they are slowly drifting further and further and further away from the Lord. That's why the book of Hebrews was written, to help Christians to be on guard from drifting from the Lord, from turning away from the faith. We're just going to look at 2 points this morning. We're going to look at the diligence of the truth, and then we're going to look at the dangers of drifting from the truth. Paul said, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, so if I say Paul said a number of times, that's why. Paul said this in verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The chapter begins with therefore. My pastor used to say all the time, if you see a therefore, then you ask yourself what it is therefore. It is a connecting word. So it connects chapter 1 with chapter 2. So what Paul was talking about in chapter 1, he says, therefore, because of what I've said there, I'm going to kind of give you a reason here. And it can be translated as that, for this reason. The writer is referring to the truth that he addressed in chapter 1. In chapter 1, we see that Christ, he was the Son of God. He was the creator of the world. He was better than the angels, that he paid the price of our sins. And because of that, we ought to listen to what he says. Therefore, for this reason, because Christ is better than the angels, because Christ is the Son of God, because Christ is the creator of the universe, because Christ has paid for our sins, for this reason, we ought to pay attention to what he says. You know, it boggles my mind with the type of people that this world listens to. You know, I've said how incredible Facebook and social media can be for getting the gospel out, but it can also be dangerous. Because there's a lot of nut jobs on those platforms. And we can listen to the wrong voice. Oh, this person said, I couldn't care what that person said. I want to pay the more earnest heed to what he says. Ah, yeah, but this preacher says, I don't care what that preacher says. If it's contrary to what this book says, he's talking a load of rubbish. Because Christ is the creator of the universe, because Christ is God in the flesh, because Christ is the one who knows all things, because Christ is omniscient, because Christ is the one who paid for our sins, because Christ is the one who authored this book, for that reason, we ought to give heed to what he says. The message of Christ deserves to be heard by us and heeded. Therefore, we ought, the word ought there means it is necessary. It is our duty. It is our duty to obey Christ. What did Paul, what did Peter and John say? We would rather obey God than man. Men told them to stop preaching, and they said, you can say what you want, but we're going to obey God rather than man. We must listen to what Christ says. It is necessary for us to do this. It is our duty for us to do this. It is the same word that the Lord used when he said, I must be about my Father's business. And he must needs go through Samaria. I must work the works of him that sent me. As Christians, we must give heed to what Christ says. It is our duty to listen to what the Lord says. It is necessary for us to listen and obey his voice. As Christians, if we want to avoid drifting from the Lord, then we need to listen to what the Lord has to say. We are to give heed to these truths. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. That word earnest there means more abundantly, exceedingly, carefully. We are to carefully, earnestly, abundantly give heed to the truths of what we've heard. What does that mean? The word heed is rich in meaning, and it is derived from a Greek word which has some wonderful applications in reference to the truth of the scripture. First of all, it talks about attentiveness. To give heed, to be attentive to a person or thing. We are to pay attention to God's word. This is why preaching, this is why church attendance, this is why Bible readings are important. Listen, I don't go on week in and week out to say I want you to be in church because I want my ego to be tickled so that we can have a pile of numbers in the church. That's not what it's about. If there were two people in the church, I would preach exactly the same way as if the church was filled with hundreds and hundreds. It's not about numbers. It's about people being under the sound of the word of God. Why? Because we ought to pay attention to it. We ought to be attentive to it. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Isaiah said, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. So the Greek word heed means an attentiveness. Pay attention. Do you know, I drive Joe absolutely crazy when I don't pay attention to her. She will say to me, I'm heading out the door, she'll say, Dad, can you pick this up from the shop, please? Yeah, no problem. And I've not really paid attention because I'm trying to find my keys because Joe keeps moving them, and I'm trying to find my keys. She likes to play hide and seek, you know, they're always normally in the drawer, and then she like hide them in my coat pocket under the stairs. And why does she do that? So I'm trying to find my keys and I'm doing something else, and Joe is speaking and I'm not really paying attention. And she says, did you hear what I said? Yes, I heard what you said, woman. I say woman under my breath. But I've not given her 100% of my attention, and as a result, I don't pick up what she's asked me to pick up in the shop. So when I get back then, she says, did you get butter? Did you get the milk? I was like, did you ask me to get the butter and the milk? Yeah, and you even like said, okay, I hear what you're saying. But I'm not being attentive. I'm not paying attention. You know, God speaks to us through his word. God speaks to us through the messages. God speaks to us. But we're not really paying attention. And maybe sometimes we stop coming to church because maybe we don't like the preacher. Maybe we don't like the music. Maybe we don't like the fellowship. Maybe we don't like the people sat next to us. We stop paying attention. We stop reading our Bible because other things get in the way. And we're not being attentive anymore. And as a result, we're not going to hear what God is trying to say to us. We are to give the more earnest heed. We are to be attentive. But not only does that Greek word mean to be attentive, it also means to have application, to apply what we've learned. We are to put the scripture in practice. The whole purpose of a sermon is not to stand here and just berate everybody and just kind of give you a list of things and impart information. The whole purpose of preaching is for us to apply what we hear to our hearts and to our lives. So we can do what? Be better at serving the Lord. Be better at living for Christ. To be more like Him. So that others can see His light in us and His love in us and His gospel living through us. But we are to apply the word to our lives. You know, we're not to come to church for an hour on a Sunday morning, listen to what the preacher says, and then walk out the door and not apply any of it to our lives. Because we're just wasting time. Then we're just drifting. We're not meant to come to the Bible when we do our readings in the morning and just tick through the list. Listen, I am all for reading the Bible in a year. I am all for setting up that plan and making sure you read through the Bible. That's brilliant. Great. If you were a believer in Christ, then there should have been at least one point in your life where you've read the Bible from cover to cover. Awesome. But that's going to make no difference whatsoever if you don't apply any of this word to your life. I would rather you read one verse a day and it take you 30 years to get through the Bible, as long as you apply what you read to your life. There has to be an application. Jeremiah talked about this when he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. They became a part of my life, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." That's a vital part of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only being attentive to the word, but applying the word to our lives. This is what James was trying to stress when he said, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect Lord of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed." So that word there, the more earnest heed, that word heed is attentiveness, paying attention. It's application. And then finally, it's attachment. It means to hold on to cleave, to attach yourself to something. This word was used in the mooring of a ship. You know, when a ship comes into harbor, they throw those ropes across, and those ropes hold that ship to the harbor. Those ropes hold that ship to stability. And that word talks about that security. Why is that important? Because that helps us not to drift. There has to be an attentiveness to the word. There has to be an application of the word. There has to be an attachment of the word. We are to be anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 13:4 says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him." We are to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? So we don't drift. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. What does that word slip mean? The word slip means to drift, to erode, to wash away, to leak, to run out, to forget. It was a word used to describe a ring falling off or slipping off a finger. It was used to describe a snow slipping off of a person, or a vessel that was leaking water, or the waves of a sea washing away the contents of the shore, or something that had drifted out to sea. We are to pay the more earnest heed. We are to give attention, to apply, to attach ourselves to the word of God. Why? Because if we don't, we'll drift and we'll start to slip away. There is a battle that all believers face to not forget the word of truth. Beware the dangers of drifting. If we do not practice the truth, we will forget it. Listen, I worked in GE for 14, 15 years as an aircraft engineer, and You know, I knew everything about the particular part of the engine that I was working on. Do you know, if I went back now, I wouldn't have a clue. I'd be like, what does that, because I haven't done it for 17 years. You know, I'm sure that there are nurses here that have retired that maybe when you're working day in and day out with certain medications and with certain things, and then maybe now you think like, oh, I don't really know what that would do anymore. Dad says the same thing with teaching. You know, the way in which things are taught, you kind of forget. Raising a child. 20 years ago we had a baby, and then all of a sudden Lily comes along, and you're like, I forgot what to do. You know, because if you don't practice something, you're going to forget about it. Can I say that if we don't practice the word, we're going to forget it? If we don't practice the truth, we'll eventually forget it, and it'll slip from our minds, and it'll slip from our hearts, and it'll slip from our lives. Why? Because we're not anchored to the Word of God, and we're not in the Word of God every day, and we're not attaching ourselves to the Word of God every day, and we're not being attentive to the Word of God every day, and we're not applying the Word of God to our hearts every single day. If our relationship and our fellowship with Christ is weak, then we will drift, and we will be pushed around with every wave that comes. That's why Paul said, be careful that you're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. If we had anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, then somebody who comes along and says, oh, I've got a new revelation from the Lord, you know, what we've been taught on all of these years is wrong, and actually God is saying this. If you were anchored firmly enough in the Word of God, then you won't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Because you're on a firm foundation. You're anchored to the truth. If our walk with God is not vital, if our walk with God is not valuable, then guess what? We will drift. The slipping or drifting that is mentioned here is not speaking about Christ and His Word. We know that Christ and His Word are stable. Christ and His Word are secure. Christ and His Word are a solid rock. The danger of drifting in the life is in the life of the careless, in the life of the neglected, in the life of the double-minded Christian. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One of the discouraging elements of being a Christian is seeing somebody who once lived for Christ. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, you know, the amount of people that have come through this church that used to serve the Lord, and they served the Lord with us, and they were on fire for the Lord, and now they're not in church anymore. They don't go anywhere. They're just drifting through some kind of a Christian resemblance. And that's really discouraging and disheartening, because if everybody that used to come to this church was in the church, I think the church would be pretty full. And I think that's safe to say in any church that we've ever been in. We've all known believers that started well and are no longer where they should be. And Paul was scared to death that that would happen to him, because he said, but I kept under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul didn't want to drift. Paul didn't want to be somebody that didn't give his Christian walk 100% commitment. Paul didn't want to be somebody that just drifted from the Lord. And you might be here today and say, well, look, those guys that were walking the polar ice cap, they didn't know they were drifting. They were heading in what they thought was the right direction. They were plowing on, and they were giving 100%, and they, you know, they weren't not diligent. You know, they were diligent in their activity, but they still drifted. So how do I know if I am drifting? Well, there are some signs. So what are the signs if we are starting to drift? First of all, the first sign is apathy. The desire to know God is gone. The desire to read God's word is gone. The desire to apply God's word to your life is gone. Sometimes the apathy is caused by even a familiarity. The Bible has lost its wonder. The Bible has lost its specialness. And we kind of come to the point where, yeah, I've heard this before. When the attitude grips the heart the passion for Christ begins to wane. Revelation 2:4 said to the church at Ephesus, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." God gives us direction on what to do about this. He urges us repeatedly to seek him, to be diligent in our search for him, to be diligent in seeking his face, to be diligent in searching the scriptures, to be diligent in seeking what his will is for our lives. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Have we become apathetic when it comes to reading the Bible? Is there apathy in our lives when it comes to church attendance? Listen, since COVID, coming to church is easy now because we can do it in our pajamas. It's live streamed every week. And I get that some people can't come to church. I get that some people are unwell. I get that, and that's awesome that they can still watch church online. But now, you'd be amazed at how many people I've spoken to that say, well, it's just easy now, isn't it? Because you can get up and think, oh, I don't feel up to it today. So I'll just sit here with a cup of coffee and with my pajamas on, and I'll just watch church online. That's apathy. That's a sign that you drift in. Christ gave himself for the church. The church is the gathering of the people, wherever it is. First sign of drifting is if you become apathetic towards the things of God. The second sign has to do with temptation. Christians get into trouble when they minimize sin, when they justify it, when they make excuses for sinful living. When we do that, that's a sign that we're starting to drift. I know the Bible says I shouldn't do that, but. I know the Bible says I shouldn't say that, but. I know the Bible says we're starting to drift when we're apathetic, when we start to have the temptations that as believers we should be able to conquer, because God is not going to put a temptation in our way that he's not also going to provide a way of escape. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Signs of drifting: apathy, temptation, purpose. When you drift from the Lord, you start to not want to have anything to do with the things of God. Your Bible reading suffers. Your prayer time suffers. Your church attendance suffers. Serving him is inconvenient. It's irritating. It's not important. When the Christian loses his purpose in serving the Lord, you're just going to start to drift and digress in your growth. You can't grow in the Lord when you're not in the Word. You can't grow in the Lord when you're not part of a church. You can't grow in the Lord when you're not praying, witnessing, serving. You can't. It's impossible. Only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Can I say this to you? If you are cooling off spiritually, get busy serving the Lord. Because when we feel like we don't have any purpose in the church, why would we go to church? If we don't feel like we have any purpose in our lives of serving the Lord, why would we want to get closer to him? If we don't feel like we have any purpose and not know what God's will is for our lives, what's the point in reading his word? We just drift when we have no purpose. God challenges us. In fact, God cheers for us to live our lives for him. Don't let discouragement or disappointment cause you to drift away from the Lord. Make your mind up right now that you're going to serve him. Make your mind up right now that you're going to live for him. Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I've set my face like a flint, that I should not be ashamed." Resolve to make your life count for Christ. Otherwise, you will drift. Bitterness is a sign of drifting. You know, we're all going to criticize somebody at one point or another in our lives. I guess that's a part of life. But if you find yourself in constant battles, arguments, or conflicts, or you find yourself just bitter and angry all the time, that's a sign that you are spiritually drifted. Maybe you avoid wanting to have contact with Christians. Maybe you avoid wanting to even be in church or to be around Christians. Can I say this to you? That is not normal. You know, when I got saved, I wasn't discipled, so, you know, I didn't really realize the importance of being in church, so I would kind of go every now and again, and I would drift. And you know my testimony, you know that I backslid for a couple of years and drifted for a couple of years. But when I came back to the Lord, I just wanted to be in church all the time. Every time the doors were open, I wanted to be in Sunday morning service. I wanted to be in the Sunday night service. I wanted to be in the Monday night prayer meeting. I wanted to be in the Wednesday night men's meeting. I wanted to be there on a Friday night with the kids. I wanted to be in church. But if we don't want to be around Christians, there's a massive issue. Something is not right. I just wanted to spend time with Pastor Ed and just try and kind of absorb everything that I could from him. You know, I love it on the men's retreat when the men are together and you're sitting down with Brother Andrew and just talking about the Lord, and then you're sitting down with David Moore and, you know, talking about the Lord, and you just want to absorb. But when we start to kind of not want to be around believers, there's an issue. And that's a sign that we're starting to drift. Conflicts and arguments with other believers can be devastating to our spiritual growth. And if a church is filled with division and strife, it's not just the individual that's drifting from the Lord. The whole church is drifting from the Lord. Paul was so stern with the Corinthian church. You know, we kind of, oh, the letter to the church of Corinth is such an awesome epistle. And it was a rebuke. Paul was saying to the church of Corinth, stop it. Stop acting that way. Stop behaving that way. Stop doing things like this. Because you're not being a testimony to people. The book of Proverbs teaches us how to resolve conflicts, how to act with other people. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness will not only rob you of your joy with Christ, but it'll affect other people. Bitterness is one of those things that can be quite contagious in the fact that it affects other people. You know, sometimes being around people with that type of attitude rubs off on you. And then you suddenly find yourself acting that way and you say, what's going on? So you drifting can cause somebody else to drift. Bitterness will just rob a person of his desire to live for Christ. And it just has a poisoning effect. And then finally, what's another sign of drifting? Priorities. Some people have a desire to live for the Lord, but there are also people who have a desire to live for the world. And it won't work. You can't please the worldly crowd. You can't serve two masters. The Lord told us that. We can't serve God and mammon because you're going to love the one and hate the other. Fear hinders many Christians from doing what God wants them to do, but we got to make up our minds who we're going to serve. You know, Joshua said that to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness and, you know, they were coming into the promised land and they brought the Egyptian gods with them. And finally, Joshua said to them, look, you can't do this. You can't have this both ways. You can't half-heartedly serve these false idols and then half-heartedly serve God at the same time. Make a choice. If you're going to serve the gods that your father served in Egypt, go and serve them 100%. But if you're going to serve the Lord, then serve him 100%. As for me and my house, I know who we're going to serve. We're going to serve the Lord. You can't serve two different masters. That will just create instability, and that will cause you to drift. If your priorities are wrong, and you're trying to please the world and please God at the same time, that's not going to work. The priorities are going to be out of balance. To please one, you will offend the other. We've already seen this verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That word unstable means reckless, uncontrollable, or fickle. An old African proverb put it this way: the man who tries to walk two roads will split his pants. There was a story in USA Today back in 2005 about Josh Long, who was 17, and Troy Driscoll, who was 15. The boys decided to go shark fishing off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina, on April the 24th in a 15-foot sailboat with no sail and one paddle. Within moments of launching their little boat, they were in serious trouble. A powerful storm system blew into the area, and the Gulf Stream current dragged them away from the shore. They admitted that after 20 minutes, they were in serious trouble. And for the next 6 days, they drifted 111 miles. Their unwanted journey was a nightmare. They had to flee sharks. They were almost capsized by a freighter that couldn't see them. And they stayed alive by gargling salt water and eating live jellyfish. To keep warm, they huddled together, and in despair, Troy asked God to take his life. They comforted themselves by praying and singing hymns, and because their boat blended in with the ocean, the search planes could not see them. Finally, on April the 30th, they were rescued 7 miles off the coast of Cape Fear in North Carolina. That story is unique because its elements describe what happens when we drift from the Lord. We get in trouble quickly. We recognize that the storms of life and the strong currents of worldliness can take us far away from the Lord and leave us feeling helpless and floundering. If we drift from God, Satan has plenty of sharks to circle us, as it were, to torment or devour our lives. If we drift from the Lord, we become weaker spiritually because of a lack of spiritual food. The jellyfish and salt water of sinful living and worldly philosophies are poor substitutes for the milk and meat of God's word. We are not to blend in with the world to get lost. We are to stand out by letting Christ's light shine. Can I just ask you this question this morning? Are you drifting? I don't want to drift into this new year. I want the Lord to use this church in incredible ways. I want the Lord to use every individual in this church to make a difference. To make a difference in your home, where you may be the only saved person in that home. To make a difference in your workplace, where you may be the only Christian in that environment. To make a difference in your classroom. To make a difference in your area of influence. I don't want us to drift, because drifting can get us into trouble. I want to be diligent in our search for God's will to be done in our lives individually, and for God's will to be done in our church. Because Christ is God, because Christ paid for our sins, because he's the creator of this universe, because he's better than the angels, for that reason, listen to what he says. Give the more earnest heed. Pay attention. Be attentive. Apply the word to our lives. Attach, hold on to that word so it's an anchor in our souls. And if we do that, we won't drift. But if our priorities are out of whack, if we are apathetic towards the things of God, if there's bitterness welling up within us, if we feel like we have no purpose and temptation just overcomes us all the time, they are signs that we are starting to drift from the Lord. Can I just say this, that we have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded, firm and deep. in the Savior's love. Do not drift in 2023. Make your lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ and make a difference wherever you are so that others might see Christ in you. Father, we thank you for this day and for this time together, for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, I just prayed you'd help us today to not drift through this new year, to not drift in our spiritual walk. Help us, Lord, to be committed, to be diligent in our search of the scriptures, to apply it to our lives, to hold on to it, to be attentive, to attach ourselves to it. Help us, Lord, to make a difference wherever we may be. We're not here to fit into the world. We're not here to blend in. We're here to stand out. And the darker this world gets, the brighter our light needs to shine. So, Father, would you help us? Help us to be the type of believers we need to be in 2023. And help us to make a difference to those we come in contact with. People need to know that Christ loves them and died for their sins. And that they need to know that their sins will separate them from a holy God. There is coming a day when they will stand before God, whether they believe in him or not. Father, we don't want people's blood to be upon our hands. We need to share the gospel with them. If they refuse to accept that, then they will stand before God and give an account. But it's our duty, our commission, to tell people of Christ. So, Father, if we are drifting, people are going to look at our lives and just see a hypocrite that tells people to behave one way, but we ourselves are behaving a completely different way. So, Father, would you just speak to our hearts today? Help us to not drift, and help us to be the believer we need to be so that others can see Christ in us. We pray and ask these things in his most precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together.
Thank you.
wonder if Dave Sadler will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Dave.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together this morning, Lord. And we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you for your word, the Bible, that speaks to us about you, Lord. We thank you that we are not left roaming around in the dark trying to find out who you are and what you're like, because your word declares you to us. And we thank you that Peter said in the past you spoke to us by prophets in many various ways, and we thank you that in later times you spoke to us by your Son, who you sent, Lord, from heaven to be a sacrifice for our sins. Lord, we thank you that He is the way, the only way that we can know our sins forgiven and peace for our souls. Lord, we thank you that as we go into this week, we thank you for Jesus, that He is with us. Lord, that the Holy Spirit dwells us, that we know Him as our Savior, and we thank you that whatever we go through, Lord, we thank you that you are there with us. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just pray for the children as they come downstairs, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that they've had to learn about you, mm-hmm. and Lord, we pray for them to know you as their Savior, mm-hmm. and God, and to follow you, Lord, in the same way. Pray, Lord, for those that are not with us this morning, maybe on at home online, or maybe they are suffering with illness and unable to join us today. Lord, we just commit them to you and pray that you would raise them up, Lord, and that they would know your presence close to them at this time. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us again to go into this week, Lord, to be reminded of the things that we have heard about this morning, Lord.